Good morning. It's time for Free for All, your morning telephone discussion program from KATI.
I'd like to take this this very, very special moment to welcome a number of former KATI announcers and air staff from, from about 1979, 78, all the way up into the mid-80s with some. Dave Beneke, Fred Lemus, Chris Snyder, Mark Rainier, John Fuller, Donna Fox, and from the news department, Ken Johnson, are all on the telephone with us. And here in the studio with me is Bob Dill. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Hey, Dave.
Ooh, hello.
Howdy.
Okay, that's the last time we all talk at the same time, or we're never going to know what's going on. Guys and gals, I guess first off, let's talk a little bit about what it was like to work at the Big 14, and let's start with the boss first, I guess. Fred Lemus, you were there for almost the entire session of the 80s and into the 70s as well. Fred, what was your thoughts?
Well, yeah, actually, I got there on parade day in 1977, so I was shocked as to what I was getting myself into. And then I was also there on the air at the end when the lights went dark. We just got done playing American Pie by Don McLean. And that was a sad day, so let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
But it was an incredible ride, and what made it that was the people that are in this group right now and the people that, you know, walked through our hallways over there on KATI Lane. I did a roster of bodies, and there was probably close to 250 people different that I worked with in that period of time. And every single one of them, you know, was a part of that wheel that turned so, so well through the days of KATI, KAWI was our sister station, and then, you know, we evolved into, like, KGRQ and, you know, different variations thereof. But
Fred, it sounds to me like you were a terrible boss. If you had 250 people roll through your door, what was the problem there, buddy?
I was a terrible boss, although I got to give Schneider credit for mentioning me in his book that he wrote, for giving him a start. He was persistent, and boy, it paid off, because, you know, he's making the big bucks right now, and I'm sitting here selling baseball cards.
Now, how many, besides Chris, besides yourself, who all is still in radio actively on a day-to-day basis? I guess we should probably identify each other as before we start, so we kind of have an idea of who's talking. Chris, obviously, you are still on the air on a daily basis in Dallas.
Yeah, that's right. I'm in Dallas now. I work for CBS Radio here for KRLD and 105.3 The Fan. And since leaving Casper about, 25 years ago, I've had the opportunity of working in Dallas and Los Angeles and London and Chicago and back to Dallas again. So it's been a pretty good ride for me.
Donna Fox, how about yourself? Aren't you still in radio?
Oh, yeah. I'm still in radio. I'm doing an oldies show in the mornings, and then I voice track for our sister station, which is country, so I get it to play my songs that I played at KATI, and then I flip over to the country side of it, and also doing some other work for some of our other stations, and First Media is the organization that I work for.
And where are you located?
Our radio stations are in North Carolina and Maryland and Virginia. I live in Virginia, but you could walk to the North Carolina state line. That's how close I am. I'm about 13 miles from the radio station in North Carolina, so I'm in Virginia.
And Dave Beneke, he's in the movie business. Dave, tell us about what you're doing today.
Well, I make rubber monsters, basically, motion pictures.
We had a few of those at KATI back in the 80s.
Yeah. I left radio about 25 years ago, and it's always been my dream since I was about 10 years old to work in movies, special effects. I was enamored with Planet of the Apes when I was a kid, so I decided to do it as a living. I did some things in Casper for K2TV. I did a Mark Twain show for Jock Blaney. So I did a little bit of professional work in Casper. And then I moved to L.A. in 85. Was able to score some jobs. I've worked on, let's see, Dances with Wolves. First big one I really worked on. Terminator 2, we won an Oscar, actually two Oscars for that.
Congratulations, wow.
Working on with Stan Winston's crew, also won another Oscar, Jurassic Park effects crew. I've worked on The Grinch That Stole Christmas. Just worked on Harvey Milk with Sean Penn. I made veneers for him and a plumper that made him look like Harvey Milk, so he just got that. So I'm having a good ride. Right now, things are a little slow in showbiz because of the actor strike and recession, but what I'm doing is I'm just rebuilding my studio and hustling for work.
Greg, or betterly known as John Fuller, are you you're still in the Chicago area, correct?
Correct. I live in the Chicago metro area. I work in Rockford. I work in television news. I worked in radio through college, which was great for me. I had a decent job, and I switched to TV when I got out of college.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You switched to TV when?
Switched to TV when I got out of college, and worked as a reporter in Scotts Bluff, and worked as an anchor in Rapid City, and kind of worked my way through a bunch of different markets, and got more into management, and have really enjoyed it, and have ended up working in Rockford. So.
Ken Johnson, you were in news. What are you doing now? You're kind of still in the publicity business, but for a new employer, correct?
Yes, this is Ken Johnson. I work down for the state of Wyoming. I'm a veterans representative, been here about 4 years. And I help veterans find jobs, build a resume, or talk to them, try to convince them to hire veterans.
Sounds like we've got a little technical difficulty. Somebody is standing by the freeway interstate or something, and it's wiping out some audio. We apologize for that. Mark Rainier, where are you at?
I'm in central Illinois, about 40 miles away from where I started from. So I got out of the radio business in about 90, and it was a good time to get into the computer programming field, and I got into that, and I've been in management in that area for probably almost 20 years now.
So you're the computer geek of the group then?
Yeah, that would be me. I've hunted down a lot of these guys over the last couple of weeks. The internet's in these ways.
Thanks, Mark.
And then here in the studio, Bob Dill, we get to see each other every once in a while. What are you doing now?
Well, you know, when I left radio, actually I was in radio and the oil field at the same time. I was a part-timer, Katie. I went to moved to California in the oil field, got laid off in 92, came back, and that's when I went back into radio here for K2. And then when I then my wife told me I had to get a real job, and that's when I went back into management in with Automation Electronics here in Casper. So
making all kinds of fancy gadgets. So you're also almost a computer geek as well then.
I don't think I'm anywhere near as geeky as Mark. Sorry, Mark.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk about a little bit is the feel of Katie for, well, as you guys called it, it was Katie for the 80s. Talk a little bit about the incarnations.
Well, this is Dave Beneke. I came in before Fred was program director. I think Jock Blaney had just left as program director. And Larry Wakefield, I think, took over the helm for just a little while. But the format at Katie was really, really loose. And Fred came in and really did a great job of tightening it up. I mean, he modernized the sound to where I think Katie was just razor sharp. I mean, we had format clocks. We cut down, you know, a lot of the filler that Katie used to be known for. And, you know, I also saw, you know, Fred kind of trying to fight a little bit with management at that time with Pat and Larry, trying to get some of the news programs taken off and things like that so it could become more of a rock and roll radio station. That didn't really happen until Stewart came in.
Dave, is this a good spot to play a little bit of Dave Beneke from 1979?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, from 1979, the one, the only, Dave Beneke and KATI.
KATI with Blue Sweet 1974, and I am hooked on a feeling. Speaking of feelings and all that kind of stuff, it's Friday, TGIF. Feeling good today, what can I tell you? Casper weather, chance of occasional snow this morning, decreasing cloudiness this afternoon. Sorry I stepped over you there, Casey. Clear tonight and tomorrow, southwest winds tonight and tomorrow. High today in the mid-30s, low tonight in the mid-teens, high tomorrow upper 40s. Currently at Katy, it's 28 degrees with KC and the Sunshine Band. Oh, please don't leave me, baby. Please don't go, because I need a lover. KATI 1016 with John Cougar. KATI John Cougar, and I need a lover that won't drive me crazy. And hey, Judy is coming up next. But first of all, kindness goes out to Sherry Borneo on her 14th birthday. Katy is giving Sherry a movie pass to the Commonwealth Theaters and a Big Mac from McDonald's. Oh, please wait for me. You know I'm always behind. That's Hall & Oates on KATI, and we'd like to remind you that Firefauna is going to be right here at Katy. I'm going to interview them over the air, so you be sure to stay tuned. Tune in around 12:30, and you'll hear Firefall. KATI with some wishful thinking. Hot fun in the summertime. It's only 29 degrees outside, expecting more snow with Sly and the Family Stone. Oh, the lady has a heart of gold. Debbie Harry and Blondie from earlier this year, Heart of Glass, 9 past 11. Dave Beneke, how you doing?
Okay, gentlemen and ladies, what did you think?
He got a lot better in the 80s.
And Fred, was he fixing, staying with the format?
Yeah, he was doing the formatics pretty well. Hey, just to follow up on what Dave was talking about, when I got there in 77, the formatics was pretty loose at the station. And I'd spent most of that previous summer in Memphis. Don and I were married. And, well, we were just about to be married. Anyway, make a long story short, I had the privilege of listening to WHBQ Memphis for quite a while that summer, and Rick Dees was working there and some other folks, and they ran a tight ship. It was an AM monster back then. One of the most respected radio stations in the country, WHBQ. It was owned by RKO. And anyway, we came in, we tried to put a lot of, you know, tightening up, you know, with the jingles and all that kind of stuff, and get rid of some of the stuff that had been, you know, Katy landmarks for year, like bulletin boards, it was like Lost Dogs and stuff. Free for All is a story. I mean,
you had a tough time with that one.
There's a classic. One day I decided that the music on Free for All was too old fashioned, and so I changed it.
Portuguese washerwoman.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, Donna. Thank you. And so I got, like, besieged by Pat Meenan and Larry Wakefield, like, what in the H are you doing? And I thought, oh, my God, I just got fired. And oh, my gosh. There it is.
Oh, God.
So anyway, we got the Portuguese washerwoman back on, like, the next day. For Free for All. But, you know, we got rid of a lot of the Lost Dogs and a lot of the, you know, Earl Nightingale. I mean, I'm not saying they were bad shows, but they just didn't fit the image of a station that needed to be, you know, a gung-ho rock and roller. And, you know, we tightened the jocks up. We made them, you know, use a little word economy when they were talking instead of, you know, flapping their jaws for an hour and a half. And fortunately, all the guys that are here listening right now or on this call, I mean, they were all younger, and they were receptive to doing things that were different. And, you know, I wasn't perfect. I didn't have all the answers, but, boy, they helped make things sound good, and it just kind of evolved. And, you know, Meenan went along with it. Then, you know, Wakefield eventually left, and then Stewart bought the stations, and it kind of, like, went downhill a little bit because they were so strange as far as owners were concerned. And then, yeah, it was a post-Meenan thing, as you alluded to. You know, Tom Weens came in, really didn't know what he was doing. Randy Hall knew what he was doing, but, you know, it was a different economic situation at the time, and, you know, we just couldn't make it happen at the end.
Fred, let's talk about that in our next segment. Let's take a little break on this special edition of Sorry, Fred, Free for All. We'll be right back. back with our special group of Katy folks from Katy from the 80s. Dave Beneke, Fred Lemus, Chris Snyder, Mark Rainier is with us, John Fuller in Chicago, Ken Johnson in Casper, Bob Dylan, Casper, and Donna Fox in Virginia. Fred, you were talking a little bit about the late era of Katy with Randy Hall under his ownership. Of course, Randy had been in Casper for years, had actually worked on Katy back in the early 70s. He was supposed to be here today, but has been tied up. Let's talk a little bit about the formatics through the mid to late 80s, because Katy kind of was a revolving door in formats for a little bit, and it was just kind of sad to see this rock and roll legend that was deteriorating.
Yeah, the biggest problem we had was KTRS. They came on as an FM station, and we, of course, were AM, and the signal was just superior. They came on, and even though we were a relatively small market ratings-wise, like with Arbitron, they had, like, the biggest increase in top 40 listenership in the country the year they signed on. So we became basically, more than anything else, the Tyrannosaurus Rex, and was getting to the point of extinction as a top 40 radio station. We couldn't compete against the FM.
Well, I remember there was a time when Pat Meenan, and I think this was before you came on the scene, Fred, he was before KWY did the AOR format, Pat was thinking about putting Katy on FM, and then for some reason they decided not to. They decided to go with the album rock format, so...
That is true, Dave, because we had those conversations. And then, you know, there's a period of time where we did, like, Music of Your Life. Terry Gross was doing mornings. Chuck Harkins was there for a while. A couple other guys. We tried country. You know, it was just like, we tried this, we tried that, we tried this. And nothing seemed to really work because we were competing against stations that had already gotten in on the ground floor of what we were doing. I mean, KVOC was doing country, and they were doing it first, so... They had more of the listeners. We couldn't really put together a better product for country. Music of Your Life was too much of a niche format. You know, just little things like that happened.
One of the things, though, that was pretty consistent all throughout, going back even into the 50s with Katy, was the news presence. Katy always seemed to have a news person. Ken Johnson, you are in this Katy for the 80s segment anyway, representing the news folks. Talk a little bit about, I guess, Pat Meenan's dedication to news and putting the information out. Whether even if it was a rock and roll station, he always did want to do the free-for-alls and the KATI spy reports and things along that line.
Well, like you say, Pat Meenan was, he was very big on news. He was in the Wyoming legislature, so he knew the value of news. And when I first started, when Fred interviewed me, I mean, it was known up front that news was going to be a very important part of the station. Even though it was a rock and roll station, news was going to be very important. And I think that just showed the overall quality of Katy. That, you know, rock and roll was the format, but news was also at the top of the list, and I admired that. I thought that was very big.
Ken, let's go back to 1979. This is something that you probably will remember, but this is Ken Johnson and a KATI spy report.
And now, a KATI spy mobile news report brought to you by Central Paint and Body.
This is Ken Johnson with a KATI spy report from City Hall, where this morning City Manager Ken Erickson has announced that Commander Edward Kenyon has been appointed the new Casper Police Chief, replacing Chief Robert Sapé. Chief Sapé has spent 7 years as the Casper Police Chief. He will retire as of effective December 31st of this year. He will become the general manager of the new TV station, be in operation in Casper sometime next year.
Okay, there's Ken Johnson and a KATI spy report. Bob Dill, you were about ready to say something here.
Oh, no, I've just listened to those and hearing all of the different background, the theme songs for all these things just brings back a lot of memories.
Ken, what were some of the memories of some of the stories that you covered at Katy in the 80s?
Boy, there was, you know, a lot of car accidents. There were murder trials, bodies found. It was a kind of a wild time in Casper back then, almost really a lot more crime than probably we have today. But it was crime was a big story. It was like one of the major stories, it seemed like, many, many days of the week.
This is Chris Schneider. I just want to say that Ken was also a good sportscaster because he did a lot of play-by-play, and I got to be his color man for several years, and we had some great times on the road. We ate a lot of pizza, didn't we, Ken?
We ate a lot. You ate a lot of pizza.
I remember you crashed the car in a rainstorm after we did a game in Rapid City. It was raining, and that was pretty scary.
I don't remember that, Chris.
I bet you don't.
Amnesia. Chris, and we will talk a little bit more here in the next segment about I will call him the sports voice of Katy for at least the 70s and the 80s, a gentleman by the name of Bob Coleman. Give me some impressions. I know Ken's got to leave here, but Ken, you worked with Bob, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Bob was a real professional. He loved sports. He loved doing that work. He was good at it. I know him and Pat got along very well, but Bob really loved doing sports, and he just had a fun time doing it. And you could just see in his face that he really enjoyed what he was doing.
The reason that I got a job at Katy, Bob Coleman, because he was calling games for Kelly Walsh on Katy, and we happened to win a state championship that year. And so he came in and did a thing at our school. And as soon as I heard him talking, I said, man, I want to work with that guy. Bob Coleman was great.
Of course, Bob Coleman passed away a couple of years ago down in southern Colorado. But the thing I remember about Bob Coleman, he had a great voice and so very, very smooth. He just, it just flowed.
Yeah, Bob was a guy that he always gave like 120%. And he never took himself too seriously. He always knew that, you know, he was good at what he did. But he always gave credit to other people, and I'm sure Donna will tell you, he was a charmer with the women. So he always had a lot of friends always hanging around him. You know, he went to work later on in his days at the post office there in Casper, and I'd run into him every once in a while, and it was always like, you know, we never missed a beat. He was just a great guy. I miss him.
Everybody loved him. I remember there was a state championship tournament, and it was in Laramie at that time. And some of the broadcasters from around the state didn't have a hotel room. So Bob would invite every one of them to come stay at his hotel room. And so there'd be like 12 guys sleeping on the floors and the beds and the tables from all over the state. And it seemed like to Bob, it was just an everyday thing. Every place he went, people just kind of hung around and stayed with him.
Let's take just a little moment here, and I've pulled up a piece of audio of a sportscast from Bob. So let's take a moment to remember Bob Coleman.
And a good afternoon, Bob Coleman, with a look at Katy Sports, brought to you by Casper Lumber. Casper College T-Birds whipped Central out of Riverton last night here in town, and that final was 98-71. That's seven straight wins for Sweet Erickson's club. Their record for the year is seven wins and a loss, and they'll be in action again Saturday on the road. They will play in Scotts Bluff. 98-71, Tony Martin with 23 points last night for the T-Bird win. The number one rated high school team in the state, Cheyenne Central, beat Scotts Bluff, Nebraska last night 72-63. Also, Lovell beat Powell 60-59, and LaGrange beat Albin 48-40. As far as our weekend schedule goes, the KW basketball team hosts the Riverton Wolverines tonight at 7:30. That'll be at the Kelly Walsh Gym, and it should be a good ball game. Hope you're there to watch it. If not, we'll broadcast it on KD Radio. NC Mustangs at home tonight. They'll host the Rollins Outlaws. And there'll be a news conference this afternoon at 2 o'clock. It is expected, this will be in Laramie, it's expected that Pat Dye is going to be named new head football coach at the University of Wyoming.
That was a pretty big sports day there back in 1979.
Oh, yeah. I remember Bob was just, so knowledgeable about sports. He almost ad-libbed his sports program because he would do it at noon when I was on the air, and I would just watch him, and he just had, you know, little notes, and he would just do the whole sports program just off of little notes that he had written. He was just so smooth and so professional.
Now, I don't remember, Chris, I know that you did play-by-play, but did Bob do play-by-play as well?
Oh, yeah, Bob did play-by-play, and then Ken did it after Bob left for a couple of years, and then I took it over from Ken for a few years, so it was the three of us kind of back-to-back-to-back there for that decade. We had a great time.
Talk a little bit about some of the big games. I know that Katie was always supporting both high schools, but and also the T-Birds at Casper College.
I was just trying to remember who the other station in town that was doing NCHS at that time. Was it KVOC?
KVOC, yep.
And so we were doing Kelly Walsh, and actually that was kind of the glory time for KW. I was actually in high school at that time, and we won a couple of basketball state tournaments when Coleman was there, and we won a football state championship when, I'm not sure if it was Ken or me doing the play-by-play on that, but we had a pretty good some pretty good teams those few years in there.
Ken, before you leave and head back, talk a little bit about your biggest and best memory of being at Katy.
I think it was just the overall experience. The people that I worked with, they were just great to work with. I love going to work every day. I love my work, and I love the people that I worked with. It was just, it was a lot of fun. I mean, you go to work, it's still work, but when work is fun, it's still, it may be work, but it's fun. And I just enjoyed all of it. It was tough to leave. I remember leaving to go across town to work for another radio station, and that was tough because I hated to leave and miss the people.
KVOC was you were there for a lot of years as well, weren't you?
That's correct. I was there for about 7 years.
Hey, Ken, do you remember Fred and I picking you up at the airport when you first came down for the interview?
I certainly do.
We were a little frightened there. I don't know if you still have a fear of flying, but I do remember that well.
No, I remember you guys picking me up at the airport. I certainly do.
Yeah.
What was your background? Where were you before coming to Casper?
Well, after I graduated from Nebraska, I was working at a radio station in Columbus, Nebraska, and I was sending out tapes and sent one to Katy, and Fred called me, and the rest is history.
We have fond memories, and I'll dig up a few more newscasts sometime during the week, and we'll put them on, and Ken's voice will be immortalized on Katy.
Okay, thanks a lot.
I'll tell you what, let's take a little break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the Katy for the 80s, as we are talking with Dave Beneke, Fred Lemus, Chris Snyder, Mark Rainier. We haven't heard much from you yet. John Fuller, Ken Johnson, Donna Fox, and Bob Dill is with me here in the studio. Back with more of this special edition of Free for All in just a minute. With our special edition of Free for All, and on the phone with us, Dave Beneke, Fred Lemus, Chris Snyder, Mark Rainier, and Donna Fox. Bob Dill is joining us here in the studio. This segment, guys and gals, we just kind of want to talk a little bit about some of those crazy stories and some of the crazy antics. And before we even get started, this is in honor of some of those great Katy jingles and Katy songs that we had. Let's see if you remember this. How about that, huh, Fred?
Yeah, I remember that. Expecting some clowns or something to come out of little bars. I don't know. They had the clowns on the air.
Just before the break, you mentioned something about somebody climbing out of the news booth or something. What was that story?
One morning, I was on. This is Dave Beneke, by the way. I was doing mornings for some reason. I don't know. Ken was, preparing his news report, and all of a sudden he opens up the teletype closet, and there's a guy with a toy gun in there, and he's pointing it at Ken, and I think he went bang, and I think at that moment Ken completely saw his life flash before his eyes, and he was just pale as a ghost and shaking, and it was kind of this this homeless guy. There were these like bands of hobos or transients that hung out in the Katy Woods. I don't know if he was from there, who knows what. But Ken was white as a sheet. I don't know if he called the police or whatever. I was busy on the air, but I just saw it out of the corner of my eye, and then Ken comes in the newsroom. I almost got shot, So it was.
So it really wasn't a joke from all the other crew guys?
No, it wasn't. This was like some crazy, you know, guy. I don't know. Like I said, from the Katie Woods. If you knew the Katie Woods back there, there's some kind of creepy stories.
Yeah, well, now most of the Katie Woods are now gone as they've put the Mike Lansing baseball park there, and there are a few things right there by the river, but for the most part, the Katie Woods are gone. Now, someone told me a little story about Mr. Dill here. Now, I don't know if Mr. Dill wants to tell the story or if we want to get somebody else to tell the story and let him defend himself. Bob?
There's a statute of limitations on that.
Come on, Dill Pickle, tell the story.
Basically what it was, you know, I worked weekends and I did all nights and some. And at one point in time during the late 70s, Donna had a disco show, right, Donna?
Oh, yeah.
And we had a couple of long discs that we could put together. You know, it was two long songs, which could amount up to about 15 minutes. So, you know, and I thought, well, I'm hungry. There's a mini mart right across the river. And I don't know why I didn't jump in my car. I thought I'm going to just go across this big pipe that goes across the river and run over to mini mart and get some food. And I got to the opposite side and...
Did you make it to mini mart?
I made it to mini mart. I also made it into the water on the way over there, jumped across, ran over to the mini mart, got my Chuck Wagon sandwich, got it heated up. Of course, they always played Katie because that's all there was to listen to at that time of the night. Got back over and... got to listen to the last toot toot hey beep beep of the Donna Summer song that was on there, and I'll blame Donna for that because she's the one that enabled me to be able to run over there and do that. But I never did it again after that.
I had those things on reels.
You had those on reels, didn't you?
Yeah. Like one big fat reel. It lasted for like 20 minutes or something.
It was great.
It was 14th Avenue Disco or something, wasn't it?
Now, Bob, did you go? Did you go all the way in the river? I mean, had to swim out, or did you just...
I hit the edge of the river. I was probably on the far side of the river, which would be the east side, and I slipped off the pipe. There were some wires, some guide wires that you had to kind of maneuver past, and got tangled up in one and fell in, and I'm glad it wasn't in the middle of the river, because I may not be here to talk about it right now. I don't swim so well. But these guys, there are a lot of great stories from back in that time frame, and I don't know if anybody else tried the
river walk.
The river walk. But anybody else out there stupid enough to do that?
I thought Schieferstein did that, but I guess not.
Well, he's not here to defend himself, so.
Well, he can't defend himself now, but I think I saw in an email where he claimed he did that.
Yeah, and why we didn't drive our cars, it would have been much quicker, but that would have been too easy, so.
What's some of the other great Katie stories? Fred?
Oh, my gosh. I have probably too many to recall. I think probably the strangest one for me was the one I referred to earlier when I changed the free-for-all theme and just got pummeled by Meenan and Wakefield over that. I mean, that I'll never forget. You know, but, you know, we had so much fun. I mean, there was just, I don't know where to start. I mean, somebody else chime in on that real quick. Let me think.
No, I've just got to say, yeah, it was one of the best times of my life. This is Dave Beneke. It was one of the best times of my life because we were family. We were really family at that station, even when we weren't working. I remember hanging out at that station. You know, I think Fred had to kick me out, you know, say, Dave, go home, you know, because it was just a family atmosphere during that time. It was
well, you know, Dave... One thing you probably remember, too, is that my house, for the longest period of time, we called it the Radio Ranch, because so many people used to come there and hang out. New jocks coming into town would stay there.
Yeah.
And, it was a huge family event. And we carried it, you know, not only at the workplace or over to my house, but, God, how many darn jock minis do we have at Venom's and the Vikings?
Way too many.
That started at 12 noon. And they all started at noon.
Frank Barrett did that too. You know?
Oh, bless Frank. He's in heaven with Bob Coleman playing tunes.
Yeah, and Pat Meenan, Steve Brummel.
You know,
well, Fred. Remember the story? Justin, our son, was born like 1980, and Fred was the PD, of course. My parents had come in from North Carolina to spend some time with us. Justin couldn't go home from the hospital when I did, so he was up there by himself. And of course, we were all freaking out, hoping he was going to be okay. Long story short, 3 a.m. the phone rings, and I just knew it was the hospital. Something awful had happened. Nope, transmitter was messed up, had to go up on Casper Mountain to fix that. So that's probably not a real good memory for me, but it will always stick in my mind, of course.
Yeah, it was that damn KY transmitter. Always up on Casper Mountain. And I was one of the few guys that could push the button on it. I had the key. And, you know, it was like a 45-minute ride up, 45 minutes to get into the thing because it was covered in snow. Oh, man, it was just unbelievable.
Did you ever have to ride the snowmobile up there?
No, but I remember hoofing it in there where we parked the car, and we actually, the snowbank was higher than my head, so I had to climb up on the snowbank and then crawl basically on my hands and knees up to that transmitter. One thing I remember having a lot of fun was, you know, over time was when they built the Casper Event Center, was just going up there to all the concerts, hanging out backstage. Mark Rainier and I used to do that a lot. We'd go sit in the parking lot to see who was breaking format, because they'd always think, oh, well, Fred and Mark are up at the concert. You know, they don't know what's going on. So we'd click the radio on in the car, and sure enough, half the announcers were breaking format. But none of the crew that's probably on the phone right now, because they were all too cool.
Mark, can you defend yourself?
He was with me.
Oh, okay.
No, Fred's right. That was a lot of fun, and I feel like I was fortunate the time I was there. It seemed like a really exciting time in Casper with the event center opening up and the new mall opened up. And, of course, the dynamics of the market were changing a lot, too, with KTRS being introduced. And, you know, MTV was just, you know, starting to influence what we were doing. But it was a really exciting time to be there. And I'll echo what Dave said, too. Everybody made me feel like family from the moment I arrived. So.
Mark, what was your background before coming to KD? And you were also on KAWY as well, correct?
Yeah, my background, I was from Peoria, Illinois, and working in radio there, and sent a tape off to Lincoln, Nebraska, and the next thing I know, I get a phone call from this guy from Wyoming, and I'm like, how the heck did some guy from Wyoming get my tape? And that was Fred. Came out to Katy in February of 82, when they decided to go live with KY. I got the opportunity to move over there and be the PD for that. You know, I'm real grateful for that opportunity. It got me into management and radio for several years and really kind of helped me with my management and career in my second career, too. So Fred was a good mentor and did a lot to help, you know, promote me for that position. So it was really good for me.
Let's talk just briefly or well for whatever time we need to. Chris, you are an author. Tell us a little bit about the book that you've written. And I guess as Fred was saying, he's included in the book, but you're sitting in Dallas and on television and doing sports, but you're also an author.
Well, you know, it's funny because from the day I started at KD, Fred and everybody else, we always would kind of joke that someday we've got to write a book about all this because there were just so many stories, so many crazy and wild things that happened, like on a weekly basis. And I never forgot that, you know, and when I moved to Dallas and then when I moved to Los Angeles and I got to talking with some other, you know, pretty well-known broadcasters, I found out that everybody had their funny, great stories. And so I just started accumulating these stories. And, you know, I talked with, you know, friends and colleagues like Chris Berman and Bob Costas and Larry King and people like that. And they would tell me some of the craziest things that happened to them on the air, you know, how they got started in the business and how they moved up and things like that. And I just kind of, you know, put together all of these stories in kind of an anecdotal and how-to book for the broadcasting business. And, you know, I had to add my stories and how Fred hired me and some of the weird things that happened on the air. And a lot of those happened at Katy. You know, it's funny how you never forget your first love. And, you know, some of those stories, some of those memories were the most poignant in my life, you know, that I had to add to the book for mine. So the book is called Starting Your Career in Broadcasting, and it is kind of a how-to book, and it's got, you know, like I said, a lot of stars in it that tell their story. So it's a lot of fun, and it was just a great privilege, a great blessing for me to be able to be a part of.
What's it like coming from a small town like Torrington, Wyoming, and working your way to L.A.? Tell that story, because I read a portion of that in your book, and I thought that was, you know, your stick-to-itiveness and beating down Fred's door every other weekend and things along that line.
I was inspired by, well, I knew when I was 11 that I wanted to be in broadcasting. As soon as I saw WKRP in Cincinnati, I knew that's what I wanted to do. And they wouldn't hire me when I was 11, so as soon as I turned 16, I went down to Katy and, you know, met Fred And Bob Coleman had inspired me. He was so great at what he did. And Fred was very nice, and he didn't treat me like an idiot, so I figured maybe I did have a shot. So I just called him once a week, every Tuesday after school. I'd give Fred a call, and he'd say, "Well, we don't have anything open right now." And then one day he just called and left a message and said he had an opening, and, man, I was just, that was like one of the greatest days of my life. And Fred was a great boss. He taught me well. He was nice. He always was concerned about, what was going on, in everybody's life. So it was a real pleasure to work for him.
I got a kick out of reading the story about you timidly going into the radio station there in Torrington and the old cigar-smoking guy that was in there working, and you were scared. And each one of us that are on this call can kind of relate to that, because I think most all of us went through that same situation or scenario in the start of our careers.
Hi, this is Bob Dill. I was just going to say, when I first went in to apply for the job, I don't remember how I had heard about it, but as all of you guys know, Fred is a huge Cubs fan. Well, it just so happened when I went in to apply for the job, I was wearing my Cubs jersey, and I could have been, I could have been the worst jock ever, and maybe I was, but I had my Cubs jersey on, and Fred hired me on the spot. So.
See?
Worked well for me.
Yeah, you either got to be a good-looking woman or you got to be a Cubs fan.
Well, just don't be the wife, because as some of you guys remember, especially Dave, I think, can relate to this, the schedules were put out for the week or whatever. I was always the one who got crapped on because I was his wife. So I was treated worse than everybody else. Fred.
Donna, we haven't talked to you a lot. What was your background before coming to Katy? Where were you from, and, how did you start at Katy, or what?
I started out in high school in North Carolina, where I'm pretty much at right now. Actually, Fred and I met through that station in North Carolina. He was a program director, and I was just this little 16-year-old kid that wanted to be in radio, so I kind of hung out at the radio station, and he came out and started the TD thing, and then I left and went to Memphis, and we had started dating at that point, and he followed me out to Memphis, hung out with me for a while, and he says, "Well, I got to tell you, I'm going to Wyoming." I'm like, "What?" I'd never even heard of, people around here don't really think about Wyoming a lot. And so anyway, we ended up getting married, moving to Wyoming, and then the rest is history. I think things for us kind of went crazy because I actually went over to KTRS to work when he was still over at Katy. So.
Okay, guys and gals, let's take a little break here, and we'll come back and get some final comments from each of you. This is a very special edition of Free for All as we look back at Katy for the 80s. Back with more in a moment. Well, let's wrap this up a little bit. Dave Beneke, give me a little final comment or impressions of working at Katy during your period.
I have to say that Fred Lemus is probably the best boss I've ever worked for, really.
Sniffle.
Taught me an awful lot about how to treat people and how to relate to people. Also, I think working in Hollywood and all of that, you think of celebrities. Well, being in Casper, we were kind of the celebrities being in radio, and it taught me that everyone is a human being. I remember walking in and pulling my records for the 10 a.m. shift during free-for-all, and there were people in there like Dick Cheney, the governor of Wyoming, or presidential candidates and all of that. You'd see these guys, and they're just human beings. So I learned that everyone puts their pant leg on one leg at a time. The best people are those that treat people the best, and I think, Fred, you're in the top category of that. I really have to
say you humble me
so much from you, really.
Mark Rainier, quickly, your comments?
Well, I got, echo a lot of what Dave says, so thanks, Dave. It was a great place to work. It was a real fun time. The people there made a long-lasting impression on me. This sort of reunion thing we've gone through the last couple of weeks has been a great experience. So, and I got to echo too, Fred's been a good friend to me for a long time, and yes, I'm a Cub fan. Stood up for me at one of my weddings, and if he'd been a really good friend, he probably would have stopped me.
Oh, gracious. Chris Snyder, comments? Final thoughts?
Yeah, I agree.
Thoughts?
Fred was a great boss, good guy. I learned a lot from him. I remember the day I got fired, my last day at Katy. We had a new GM. You remember Bruce,
yep.
Fred, when he took over? Well, I'd worked with Bruce for like 4 years, but apparently he still didn't know who I was because I walked in his office and I was doing mornings, and he said, well, you've got a choice. You can either be part-time or you can be fired, you know? And I said, well, you can just stick that right up your, you know, blank. And I walked out. Well, and you know, Fred thought I was kidding. When I told him, I walked out, and Fred said, well, what happened? I said, well, he fired me. And so I left, and then apparently Bruce walked down the hall and talked to Fred because Bruce was calling me like 2 minutes later. Oh, I made a mistake. I didn't realize who you were. So he was trying to hire me back. It was unfreaking believable. But that was my last day at KATI.
Donna?
Yeah.
Comments?
I remember it's probably the best time of my life because we had records. We didn't have computers like we work with now. You actually had to cue the record up. I remember the greatest thing was the record reps when they come in because I was the music director. And Fred and I, we went off to the NAB conventions, and it was so much fun. I got to travel, Chicago, New Orleans. And I remember sitting at Benham's one day, Fred and I and some of the record reps came in from Denver, and the lunch bill was like $220. And
all alcohol.
Yeah, pretty much. And this was back in the late 70s, so wow, you know. And I really loved that restaurant. And, of course, Frank did too, but I didn't love it as much as he did. But it was a fun place to go with all the record reps and hang out. And, you know, radio is not like that anymore. And so I really miss that, you know, the whining, the dining, and hanging out with the record reps. And it was just a really, really, really good time in my life. I really enjoyed it.
Bob Dill?
You know, just having been able to work with all these people, and Fred was a great mentor, like everybody says. He taught me a lot about just how to be a real honest person. And one question that I have, though, Fred, did we ever figure out who put the present in Chuck Whitman's mailbox?
I know it wasn't me, but everybody wanted to do it.
I know who, but I have been sworn to blood secrecy.
Is this Dave?
Yeah, this is Dave.
Okay, then I know who did it.
Fred,
I think it was JD, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was. Okay, yeah. Fine. Inside joke, we know.
Fred Lebus, your comments as we wrap it up here on this special edition of Free For All.
Well, let me get the handkerchief out of my eyes. You guys, I mean, I love you all. You know, we won in 1980 the Station of the Year from Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, but you know, in my tenure there from 77 to 87, I would say we were Station of the Year every year, and it was all because of the people there. I have never in my life been around a group of people whose names bring back nothing but good things to me as I sit here and, you know, reflect right now. I mean, I worked in other radio markets, I worked at other stations, and da-da-da, other careers, but, you know, there is nothing that means more to me than going back and looking at those days of, you know, Katy and KGRQ and KAWI. I mean, that was just awesome. And it all happened because I got a little phone call from Pat Meenan and Larry Wakefield and said, come on out to Wyoming. And I said, what time you want me to be there? And it was the greatest decision I ever made. Love you all.
Well, folks, thank you so very much for helping us remember Katy on this Katy Classic weekend. On the phone with us, Donna Fox, earlier Ken Johnson, and John Fuller, or Greg Schieferstein.
Schieferstein.
Schieferstein. I'm sorry, I didn't work with Greg. And
that's why I went by John Fuller.
Yeah, and Mark Rainier, thank you for calling us, as Chris Snyder down in Dallas, Dave Beneke in L.A., and Fred in Florida. Thank you so very, very much for being a part of our Katy Classic weekend, and thank you for joining us as well on this special edition of Free For All. Don Steele, Katy, Total News. I'll just lay it out there. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Hey,
thank you.
Thank you.
Love you all. Good to hear from you. We'll do more stories.
This has been Free For All, your morning telephone discussion program. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KATI, its ownership, management, employees, or sponsors.